Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Joining us today is Jenny Whiting, an inspiring entrepreneur and educator who is making a significant impact in the field of STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics education. Jenny is the proud owner and driving force behind Snapology of Harrisonburg, a creative learning center that's sparking the imaginations of children and empowering them with essential skills for the future. Snapology builds confidence through STEAM classes, fun robotics, animation, and computer learning. Kids ages 2 to 14 learn through play using Lego bricks, Kinects, and more. With a passion for fostering creativity and a background in education, Jenny has transformed her vision into a dynamic reality, providing young minds with hands-on learning experiences that are both fun and educational. We're excited to delve into Jenny's journey, the world of Snapology, and her insights into the future of STEAM education. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you, Don. It's great to be here today.
Yes, this is so exciting. Mm-hmm. I have been here before. You showed me your workshop. There is tons of fun things to do in there. I'm excited to get into this so we can learn all about Snapology. And my first question for you, Jenny, is can you tell us about your background and what inspired you to start Snapology of Harrisonburg?
Yes, I'd love to. So I am the mother of 5 kids, and honestly, that is why I started teaching Lego robotics classes when the middle of my 5 kids was 7. And we were just kind of looking around for a different type of activity from him, and we heard about Lego League, and we thought, what's that? And we wanted to get him on a team, and we couldn't find an existing team for him to join. So that's when I found out I could start my own team.
Wow.
So I was able to coach him and his friends, and it's a great program where kids just work together to solve different problems and then build a Lego model and build Lego robotics to, you know, accomplish different challenges that go along with that theme for the year. So I started teaching that about 8 years ago, and then I had more kids and friends ask me if they could join, so I ended up doing about 5 Lego League teams, and then I wanted still more curriculum to offer kids. And as I started looking for more Lego robotics and STEAM curriculum, I came across Snapology, which is a franchise. It was also started by a mom doing the same thing, trying to find more activities for her kid. So it just was a real good connection for me as I saw that Snapology had the same goals that I had for my kids. And so I was able to purchase the franchise for Harrisonburg a year and a half ago, and I've been continuing to teach classes through Snapology since then.
Yeah, I love that story so much. And you said something in there that's intrigued my interest, and that's goals for your kids. What are some of those,
yes,
and how does that fit in so much with what you're doing now?
Yes, thanks. So I think my primary goal is actually connection with other kids, being able to learn to work together and collaborate and, you know, solve problems and also have friends and doing it in a way that's very fun and engaging. And so since my kids have loved Lego, that's been a great like avenue for learning to work together. And then, of course, it's also just to spark excitement for education and for learning. I want them to be excited about learning new things and trying things that maybe they didn't know that they would like. You know, we have engineering classes where maybe a child doesn't know they're going to like it until they get in there and they start building and see things work and get excited. So, you know, even if a child isn't going to be on a Lego League team or continue for a long time with Lego robotics, just the experience of being excited about learning how to, you know, be creative, make something and see how it works or doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That's a really great process for kids to go through.
Okay. Yeah, that's so good. I love it. Snapology focuses on STEAM education for children. Now, before we get into that, we have talked before that there is a difference between STEM and STEAM. Mm-hmm. And since you are in this world and you know all about it, I was wondering if you could educate the laughers on the difference between those two and what all that means.
Sure. Overall, it's really not too different. Just STEAM adds the letter A, and that stands for arts. And so really when a child is doing STEM or STEAM, they're really actually doing the same thing. Just STEAM emphasizes that there is art, there's creativity and building or sorry, maybe not always building, but just coming up with an idea of how you want something to look. The design aspect of any engineering project will include some kind of art as you think about what it's going to look like, what materials you're going to use. And so sometimes it's really obvious that there's art in our projects as we're, you know, trying to replicate how someone looks. You know, a lot of times the kids will, they might build themselves with Lego.
Yeah.
Like a self-portrait. Yeah. It's very artistic as they, they design a city or a bridge or a building. And so we just love to emphasize that art is through every part of STEM. And hence, we like to use the word STEAM.
I see. So not necessarily so much art as we may think as paintings, but right. More what the robots look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I think more with the design and the creativity that we associate with art comes out with building.
Mm-hmm. I see. What are some of the unique programs and activities that Snapology of Harrisonburg offers to kids? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, what's really neat is this business is very flexible. There's so many different avenues to engage in the Snapology activities. And we are mobile-based, which means we can bring our activities to any location. And then I also have my own workshop with two classrooms in Mount Crawford. So kind of have a little bit of both. But so primarily our largest activity includes our summer camps. And so mm-hmm. during the summer, every single week of the summer, we offer from 6 to 10 different camps. And a wow. camp would be a 3-hour camp that you go to each morning or each afternoon. And so that's been really fun to have so many different kids come through camps in the summer and be able to pick a different topic or theme that they like. And then during the school year, we also offer weekly classes. We'll offer camps when school is out or over different holiday breaks. And then some other fun things include having birthday parties.
Oh, so, fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids that love having a Lego birthday party. So instead of the parent having to, you know, organize that, a Snapology instructor can come to the party or to our location in Mount Crawford and, you know, a child can pick a favorite theme like Minecraft or Pokemon or princesses. I mean, there's probably 50 different themes that we can accommodate and do activities for the birthday child and their friends. We also have done a few parents' nights out. We like to do those about once a month. And that would be on a Friday or Saturday evening where you can drop off your children and go out on a date.
That's nice.
We even feed them dinner.
Oh, yes. Bonus.
So we've had a lot of fun with those. And really, the possibilities are endless. I'm going to be going to a Christmas party at a church and doing Christmas activities with Lego with them.
Oh, that's great.
And this week, I'm really excited. I was invited to come to the Bridgewater Retirement Community
yeah.
and do a robotic activity with their residents.
Oh, that's so amazing.
While we say 2 to 14, adults can enjoy some of our activities that are offered to them. And then we even have a toddler class, which would include your 1 and 2-year-olds, where a toddler and a caregiver will come and, you know, enjoy activities together.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, your summer camps, I've learned from other parents. My son is 30 now, uh-huh. but I have friends still raising yeah. kids, and they talk to me about the summer camp programs just in general are competitive and they have to sign up early for them. Mm. Is that the case with Snapology also?
Well, I think we're, fortunately, we've been able to bring more options to the community.
See, right.
And so there have been times where some programs were very difficult to get into, but since we're new in the area and we've been able to offer several camps a week, then it hasn't been like that yet.
Okay.
But we just finished our second summer of camps, and we did have some great enrollment, and I was really excited to see people sharing camps, bringing their friends. We've had out of town, you know, visitors come and sign up for camps, or maybe a grandparent has their grandchild with them in the summer. So, and also the variety of our camps has been able to make it so that kids can choose what they want to do. And I think we've been able to help meet that need, that there needed to be some more camp options in the summer.
Yes, I think so. I love all that you're doing. It's really a unique experience for kids in our area, something that we haven't had before. And speaking of unique experiences, the way that things come together.
Yes.
Like these delicious kernels popping right now in my mouth with a delicious mix of flavors from our sponsor.
Delicious.
I know, right?
This is the pumpkin spice, right?
This is the pumpkin spice. It is perfect. She does amazing popcorn, gourmet popcorn in general, and seasonal popcorn like we're experiencing right now. And when you're talking about having programs for kids, we got to have some snacks.
Oh, for sure. Yes, snacks is always important.
Snack time. We're having snack time right now with Preposterous Popcorn. They grow their kernels right here, or they are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. They have a cornucopia of sweet and salty flavors. Plus, the best part is their factory is 100% nut-free. Preposterous is perfect for any occasion, birthdays, anniversaries, you name it. Preposterous is generously offering our laughers a 15% discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 when you visit preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com and treat yourself today.
Thank you, Preposterous. What a great treat. Yes.
That's so fun. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you next, how do you incorporate play and creativity in your educational approach at Snapology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Snapology tries to have a threefold mission and goals with our students. And so we want to enrich them educationally as they're learning different STEAM concepts about simple machines, about coding, and you know, how things work together. And then we really want to have a lot of fun. So
I believe in that, Jenny.
When they're having fun, that's also when that creativity can really explode, when it's not, you know, a task or something too difficult. We are able to help guide them. And so if they're building a robot, we will give them instructions, just like when you're building a new Lego set. And so they can follow the instructions to build it. And then we show them how to do some simple coding on tablets where they're, you know, putting a motor and a speed button and a stop button and even sensors. So that, you know, brings in the enrichment, but then creativity happens when they start to experiment with that code, and they want to see how fast or slow they can make their robot go. Or if we're doing more of a creative build, we might give them inspiration. A lot of kids enjoy our programs around different themes like Minecraft and Star Wars and
fun.
Harry Potter. So let's say Harry Potter, we would show them some of those pictures of castles, and then they can take that inspiration to build their own castle or their own magic wand or mythical creature. So, and then through all that, the third mission is social development. And so we often work together in partners, especially when we are building an engineering or robotic build. The students learn how to take turns with each other, how to help each other problem solve if something's not working or they can't find a piece. They'll work together. Yeah. Each class will rotate those partners. So they're learning to work with different people, hopefully making friends. So we try to, you know, guide all of that. And we're also pretty insightful as teachers as to, you know, which students will work well together. Sometimes an older student will mentor a younger student. And so, yeah, we have found that we can really see a lot of kids blossom in their confidence as they learn to work together and help one another. And I don't know, I see tons of creativity every day as they're doing these things. They're coming up with cool ideas and new ways of trying things.
Yeah. And how did you develop this educational approach? Is that something that comes from Snapology mm-hmm. headquarters or your personal approach from your background or both?
Sure. Yeah, I would say both. For sure it is through Snapology has employed very experienced curriculum developers who have written our lesson plans. And so that is a great benefit to me as an owner, is that I have well-written lesson plans and I can also hire other teachers to teach, so that, you know, we can all have that opportunity instead of just one person teaching. And but I do have a degree in secondary education, which is actually in Russian language. When I was younger in college, I had the opportunity to go to Russia several times and teach English. And my minor is in TESOL, which is teaching English to speakers of other languages. And so I think all my years of experience of, well, both education and hands-on teaching, this is an approach that I see works really well to, work together and have whatever you're learning be fun.
Yes.
So like when I was teaching English, I still wanted it to be very hands-on and engaging and not just, worksheets or something like that. It's always been important to me that kids are enjoying what they're learning and they can, see in front of them what it is that they're designing and making.
I love that. You've been doing this for about 18 months now. So mm-hmm. I imagine you have some success stories or memorable moments from a student's experience at Snapology that illustrates the impact of your programs. Do any come to mind that you could share with us?
Yeah, sure. This past summer, I had one student who was only 5 years old. And when she first came, she was quiet and timid, and she was always pretty well behaved, but it was a little scary for her to work with others. And maybe she was hesitant when her parent left her. Mm-hmm. But she came to several different weeks of camps, and almost, within even a week, I just saw her have so much fun and love coming. And by the last couple of weeks that she came, she was very engaged especially in the robotics that we were doing, whereas before she was maybe hesitant about it. So that's just one example. I've seen many students grow in confidence and independence too, that more excitement or willingness to come. And we do encourage drop off at our classes, mainly so that the student will lean on their own abilities or their part or work with their partner versus a parent stepping in. Right. So it's just a chance for them to grow. And then I have another student, a young man named Steve, who is 12 now, and he's actually been coming to my Lego League classes this is his 8th year, so wow. 8 years. And I know he's told me many times, and his mom and dad, that he also has just grown so much in his love both for technology and robotics, but also for working together as a team. And that camaraderie that he feels with the other friends that he's made. And he's excited every year to see, what the new theme will be for our Lego League and to brainstorm ideas. So I just, I've had a lot of parents also comment that if their child maybe homeschools or might otherwise not feel like they found their spot with their friends, they can sometimes find that when they come to Snapology, they can find the other kids who also love Legos and love, just that kind of technical side of figuring out things. And so it can give, while all kids can love it and enjoy it, it can kind of serve a population that maybe hasn't quite found their spot yet.
Yeah, I love that about this program. I'm also very much enjoying that you come up with themes mm-hmm. For not just here for Snapology, but also for your Lego teams. Is that something inspired by you, or do you work with the kids in Snapology and the Lego teams to figure out what?
Right.
Is this like a group vote? What happens here?
So it actually does come to us each year. There's different suggestions. And so it can be a little confusing because there's Snapology that we offer this variety of classes, including the themed ones about, you know, popular themes. And then there's one of the programs we run is called First Lego League. And so First Lego League is actually an international organization that is separate from Snapology, and in many different schools and organizations and community groups could offer it, but it's a little bit tough to find and it is kind of challenging to run. And so that is a benefit of finding a few adults in the community. And I was one of those who was like, hey, I want to start some teams. And so every year, First Lego League will give us a new theme.
So they give it
for that. And then within Snapology, we just have different programs that have themes. But for example, this year, our Lego League theme is called Masterpieces, which is really exciting. It's all about the arts.
Okay.
So it's really bringing out that A in Steam.
I love it.
About, you know, theater and music and visual arts and how we do use technology. And so, you know, basically all the arts now, there is some element of technology and being able to share it more freely with other people. And so the students are being challenged to come up with ways that they can share their hobbies with others. So it's really neat. They will research that topic and come up with ideas, and then they'll make a presentation to a group of judges at a competition.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you have any memorable moments from those experiences that really stand out?
Well, one is that is just the flexibility and adaptation of all of us as educators, you know, over in 20 and 21 with the pandemic, we were able to shift our Lego League to an online competition.
Oh, right.
So we would video the robot doing its missions, and they did their presentation by Zoom. So that stands out as so great that we could keep going even when, you know, we couldn't be in person for the competition. And then this last year, my team worked really hard, and it includes my son. And I have a lot of, you know, memories because I have two sons who have been on teams. Well, and my youngest daughter has as well. So they did really well, and they were very, very proud of themselves, but they didn't qualify to go to the state competition. And they were disappointed to not move on to the state, and they just vowed and got so excited to say next year we're going to. So we'll see that. That's what they're working on right now. And so, you know, it just is one more way of being able to share with each other. The competitions are very friendly. We call it friendly competitions. And different teams from the Valley will come and share with each other. And the kids are all excited to share and learn from one another. So that also stands out, that it's very friendly and respectful. You know, sometimes sports can get so competitive that it almost doesn't become enjoyable anymore.
Right.
Sometimes. So I feel like, you know, this just gave them motivation to do their very best the next year. And then just my other favorite memory is that my son, who started it all when he was 7, that he just stuck with Lego League for years. And then when he was in 7th grade, he had enough confidence to try something different. And he tried running. Had never felt very good about himself with sports. And so he started running on the cross country team and then on track in our local schools here. And this past year, he actually ran a 100-mile ultra marathon.
That's amazing.
And that's where you just keep running for 24 hours. And he did the whole thing. And he was also inspired to have a fundraiser paired with his marathon. So he raised $15,000.
That's great.
For an orphanage in Haiti. And so it's just, you know, there's there's plenty of examples, but really, like, the point is that I felt like his time of being on a team and working together with other students gave him a lot of confidence. And then he was able to expand into, you know, other interests as well. And he still helped me with classes. And this whole business has been a lot about my family and how my kids also get to help, and that we sort Legos together.
They're helping with the business.
We have a lot of Legos. So we'll have little sorting parties to put them all back into their kits, and they could come up and assist. And my 12-year-old is just loved by other students. Like, he's the kid that, you know, all the other kids are like, oh, Toby, come here, come help me. You know, because I think that my students love to see those examples of the older students or assistants who are also excited about STEM and are able to be examples to them.
Yes. And and Toby is the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, the ultramarathon.
Well, actually, that's Nate.
Nate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nate, so Nate's 15 and he's at Turner Ashby, and then Toby's at Pence. But they both have just
blossomed.
They've blossomed and they're great kids, and I'm really excited for them and their futures.
I am too. Great job, Toby and Nate. That's amazing. Keep fighting the fight.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah, I wanted to ask, how do you adapt your curriculum to cater to different age groups and learning styles?
Yeah. So one of my favorite ways to do that is to first get to know the students by, when they come in, giving them a warm-up challenge. And so on the first day of class, it might be to build something that you enjoy doing, or a favorite summer activity, or if we're going to be doing space that day, maybe build a space base. Anyway, during those first 10 minutes while they're kind of warming up, I say, well, you know, when you're going to go do sports, you got to warm up your muscles. So we
have to warm up
our our Lego building muscles and our brain. So they get start being creative as they build. And that's really a time where teachers can pay attention to, you know, just how the child is doing and how they might interact with others. And so we can start. And then we give them a chance to sit in a circle and share what they built and introduce themselves. And that's another great way to start understanding, like, where their skills are at, how they're doing with talking to others. And so we use that to then pair them up for any partner work. And on occasion, we understand, like, there might be a student who could benefit from being with an older student, or maybe there's a student who could benefit from being with our assistant. We usually have an assistant in the class as well. And of course, we also try, you know, we give parents an opportunity to give any notes when they register, so we can be aware of any special needs ahead of time. We had one student who was not able to walk without his walker, and with a physical challenge, and we were just able to talk through it and just make those accommodations and make sure he was always comfortable where he was at. And then as far as working together, we feel like there's so much to be learned in a multi-age group.
Yeah.
And so while a class for 5 to 12-year-olds might sound crazy to some people, it actually really does work. Like I said, we'll either pair an older and a younger if they could benefit from each other, or we'll pair close in age if that's where it seems they would feel more comfortable. And, you know, sometimes students come with their friends and we'll try and let them be with their friends, but they also learn the benefit of making new friends and working with others. And, you know, that helps them grow in their social skills.
I love that you have a focus on the social skills as well as the technical skills. And I think that makes a big difference in terms of opportunities in their future, envisioning themselves in different careers they might not have thought of before. And I want to ask, in what ways, more specifically, do you believe Snapology of Harrisonburg contributes to all of that, preparing the children for their future careers and challenges that they have before them in our tech-driven world?
Yes, it is very tech-driven. And so we are helping with some of those technical skills as we do introduce them to coding and programming and being able to navigate, some technical like instructions on a tablet, but really our primary focus is not so much on the tablet or the technical part, but on the interactions with each other and experimenting and seeing like right away if something works or doesn't. Mm. One of the favorite activities students love is to change a gear ratio. And so as they change the size of the gears or the order that the gears are in, they can see how the movement is affected, if it will speed up really fast or go really slow or maybe not work at all. And so I think one goal is for them to see with a physical product, like what happens, you know, and not just what's happening on the screen, but right in front of them. And then to be able to be innovative and try to think of new ways of building something or coming up with a new way to solve a challenge. You know, how can we build a stronger bridge, or, you know, what can we do to keep a building safe in an earthquake? Things like that. And we have them do a lot of that together, and then we give them that chance to present to each other. And so the presentation skills are really important for their future, to be able to talk to each other.
Yes.
You know, not only text or, you know, talk through screens, but talk together in person and connect and enjoy that time together. So I think for me, that's one of the most important skills is to collaborate with each other. As we prepare for our future, we need to work together.
I really like that. Yeah, the team collaboration is really standing out in terms of what you're talking about, and personal communication with each other to help solve problems, and you're tapping into helping them develop, I think, critical thinking skills in terms of what you're doing.
Yes, yes. And I know that they, you know, a lot of students will get a lot of the same type of learning and enrichment at school. So we just are here to like supplement that and maybe tap into specific interests that students have that then helps get them more excited about it. And that excitement about learning, the confidence they gain can then help them as well in their regular school.
Yeah, creating some synergy between at school and after school education.
Yeah, and then I did forget to mention, we also are able to serve and help schools by supplementing any STEM that they would want. You know, maybe we do have a robotic set that they don't have or different supplies that they don't have. And so we can come and do an in-school field trip where we come into the classroom. And last year I came into my daughter's classroom and we did a Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade project.
That's fun.
Very Tell fun. Me,
I must hear more about that. It's one of my favorite parades.
Oh, and the balloons. So here again, we see like that combination of all the STEAM words. We have engineering kits where we teach them about axles and wheels, and they put it together with the Technic Lego bricks, which are the bricks with holes in them so you can put your axle in. And so they built a base for their parade float. And we showed them some pictures, a little video about how the floats are developed and how the balloons are built. And then they got to build their parade float, build their float. And we gave them that option of coloring a balloon that you could, you know, add to it. So to really replicate the Macy's Day Parade. And then we did a parade, you know, through the classroom, the kids paraded their vehicles through. And so I think that was also a neat application of a real life, you know, challenge. It's like, okay, how are we going to build these floats, and how are we going to design them? What are they going to look like? And how are we going to make sure, you know, that the engineers have to be sure everything fits, you know, down the road. So, you know, there will be limitations in real life, and then we can talk about those as we build. So again, just another fun way. And it just can be, you know, even like a gift to a teacher, right? Like a parent could just gift their teacher, like, oh, I'm going to let Snapology come in and do this fun activity with you. And so that's another way that we can work together with schools, is just being able to, again, supplement and kind of spread it out. So not all the work is on, you know, one classroom teacher, but she or he can tap into some of the other resources.
that are available around here, like Snapology of Harrisburg.
Yes. And we've been able to offer a few scholarships. Over the summer, I had some like therapists reach out to me who were looking for options for some of their clients. And we've been able to donate items to local like auctions and just, you know, different nonprofits as they've been trying to raise money. So I really, that's important to me as well, of course, is to just serve the community. And I know as we're able to grow, then we can also hopefully serve even more children who might not otherwise be able to come.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that that will continue to grow so we can give more youth in our area this experience. Speaking of education, during the pandemic, there was a rise of online learning. How has Snapology of Harrisonburg adjusted to meet the needs of both in-person and virtual learners?
Yeah, so Snapology immediately was able to start offering their classes via Zoom. As long as the children had some Lego bricks at home, then there was a lot they could do. And it still had that application of sharing with each other what they built, being able to, again, connect with other students who were, you know, working together on this similar activity or challenge. Doing the robotics, of course, was a little more challenging because most students don't have their own set at home. So I think some of that had to stay on hold unless, again, they were able to rent out or distribute sets. I myself wasn't a Snapology owner during the pandemic, but I did do some of my own classes online. But now we have transitioned back to everything being in person for the time being. And I think that, you know, in person with this type of activity is really the most ideal since it's all about being hands-on with the supplies that we have and working with other students, which of course we can do virtually, but it's really impactful to do it in person and to see the results of what we're building together. So for the most part, we hope to remain in person, but if we need to be virtual, we have learned some skills of how to do that.
Yeah, I think with the Kohl's, it sounds like for Snapology in general and Snapology of Harrisonburg, that emphasis on communication and collaboration and problem solving with person-to-person contact makes sense why the focus is on in-person learning.
Yeah. And just like, you know, our schools, we try to sanitize and keep everything clean and be as healthy as we can. And so far, you know, I feel like there's been a really good response. There's a lot of gratitude that we're able to do this.
Yes. And you have an amazing background as an educator. And now you are a business owner. What are some of the challenges you faced in the field of STEAM education? And how have you overcome them?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is the business challenge. Since my background is in education and teaching, I am not an expert on how to run a business. And so I'm grateful that I was able to buy into a franchise. And I think that's been very helpful. That's one way to overcome that hurdle of how to start, you know, a website and a business is I can go into the framework that Snapology has provided and they continue to update and give us new curriculum so I can keep offering new programs. And then just my own education, I've tried to learn more about marketing and, you know, I play around and experiment a lot on my own with making digital graphics on Canva, things like that. So really the biggest challenge is, of course, enrollment. Like in order for the business to keep running and to keep offering classes, we need to be able to have enough students to run a program and, you know, pay my teachers and all the things involved in a business. And so one thing that's helped me is just being able to connect with other people in the community. And recently, in the spring, I offered several free demo classes to different schools. I actually did it as a giveaway so people could nominate a teacher. And then I drew like 10 names and was able to visit 10 different classrooms. And through that, I've made a lot more connections. And one was with the owner of New Beginnings Montessori. And she was so excited to find out about Snapology. So even being a teacher and a business owner in the area, she didn't know about us yet. And now I'll be offering classes at the Montessori school.
Oh, that's great.
So children can, you know, when they finish their school day there, they can stay an extra hour for a Snapology class. So just things like that, being able to, you know, connect and talk. Recently, you know, I worked with Silk Moth Stage.
Yes.
We set up a parents' night out to offer the parents while they went to watch a play. So I'm really excited about those opportunities of helping, you know, meet some needs in the community or just working together. So, and then I think one challenge with STEAM education might be that sometimes it does seem like something just extra that a parent might not want to pay for. And so being able to help, you know, parents understand what are the benefits of classes like this. And I know there's so many good choices for enrichment activities. So, you know, sometimes it's just great to try one time, like come do one workshop, one camp, and just see if that's a good fit for your student or not.
Yeah, I'm thinking about these parent nights out. I think we have. Yes. I think we need a parent night out for X2 Comedy.
Yes, I know. Because just in general, like childcare and finding up, you know, ways to be sure our kids are well cared for, while parents and adults also get to go out and enrich themselves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that is something I hope to keep helping our community with.
Yeah. I hope that sparks some ideas for the laughers in the community to think about how they can collaborate with you and work together. I love the extension of the work together goal and connection that you have as a business owner, extending from what your goal is within your own business with the youth and the programs that you offer. That's very, very synergistic. I like that. What advice would you give to parents who want to encourage their children's interest in STEAM subjects at home?
Yeah, there are so many really great resources for this. You know, a quick search online can bring up like a calendar of every day, a different challenge of something to build with Lego or some kind of experiment to do. So sometimes having that, like a little bit of guide or structure of like giving them a challenge and then just allowing that time and space for it, which sometimes does mean limiting other things. So, you know, I've had to navigate that with my kids, how much time they are allowed to play a video game or be on screen versus, you know, being outdoors playing or building or working, you know, together with their sibling or friend instead of being by themselves. Having teenagers and now young adults, like I know there's a pull to be online and to isolate. And so, as a parent, I just would keep throwing out, like, try to have your kids work with others. And I think they'll get excited when anytime a student sees, like, I don't know, a result from what they built, maybe a, you know, their robot moving or a pulley working or somebody, or building a strong bridge and they pile up all these, I don't know, we've piled up cans of tuna fish. You know, you, like, give your child that challenge, like, see how strong your Lego bridge can be. Can we put all of our, you know, cans of food on it? And they get so excited. And then they also might get disappointed. And that's okay. Like
that is okay.
They can be disappointed and think, okay, how can I rebuild this? What could I do to make it stronger? Yeah, it does. Anytime we're experimenting, there will be some failures. And that is okay too for, that's good for a child to learn. Like, okay, I can try again and I can do that without, you know, getting really upset. Or if I need to, I can go take that little timeout break. So, and of course, anytime you build with them, that is pretty exciting to the kids. So that would be my other suggestion is just go ahead and have fun, build with Legos or Kinects or Kiva blanks. I mean, there's so many ways, or even just your, you know, recycled materials, get them out and try to create something together.
Okay, so you can send them with information that they can try these things at home? Is there some sort of instructional sheet or something?
Well, I do. We do give them some like challenges and suggestions, and we will put them out in our newsletter and on Facebook. But then also I've leaned into other, you know, resources online to find more ideas. And so there's a couple of websites that just have great ideas for, especially around building with Lego and STEM activities with Lego. So you can either search that or reach out to me and I'll send some of the ones that I have.
Yeah, that's great. As you're talking about these robots that mm-hmm. they're making.
Yes.
What is the most interesting robot you've seen one mm-hmm. of your kids make?
Well, they love any of the robots have wheels. So when,
wheels. Okay.
Yeah, like when you say robot, you probably do think of something with wheels, right? But yeah. Technically a robot does not need wheels to be a robot. So, you know, we talk about how even just the, you know, the little robot vacuum is a robot. Or like when kids go into a store, there's sensors that will open up those doors. And mm-hmm. so we're learning a lot of things. But they love to build. I think the favorite is always the space rovers and like robot that looks like it would be out in space, or that, you know, it might come from our, we have a Star Wars robotics program. And so they're building all kinds of space vehicles and things from Star Wars. So those are probably the favorite because they're really like moving and getting around. But we have another fun one is called a grabber. So it's basically like an, you know, like a robotic arm that can pick things up. And so we do a really fun game where we see how many cotton balls we can pick up in like a minute and put into a cup. And there it's just, you know, with using that robot arm. And so whenever we add a little bit of a game or competition, the kids get really excited to see, you know, how fast they can do it. We also have one called Combat Robots. And so with that robot, we use the Lego, it's called Power Function Motors and Remotes. And so it's kind of like driving a remote control car robot.
Oh, that is super fun.
And they battle each other, like the BattleBot show. And so they're trying to see how they can build it strong so that parts don't fall off when they battle each other. So that's been pretty fun. Students will try to make something really long stick out of their robot, you know, to defend themselves.
That's great.
But the other fun thing I've enjoyed is seeing just how they personalize that robot. We might make, everyone in the class might make the same, like, space rover, but then they can add more Lego bricks to it and make it look completely different from someone else's. Another thing we do is have Girl Scout troops and Boy Scout troops come in to do their robotics badge or mechanical engineering badge. And so some of my Girl Scout troops have really especially made their robots look, you know, very pretty, very colorful rainbows. And so it's, for me, really fun to see that creativity that even when the initial instructions are the same, the result still ends up very different for each partner group.
That's great. There's animation too, you mentioned.
That's right, yes.
And what does that look like in Snapology? What does that mean exactly?
Right. So in Snapology, our animation program is stop motion animation. And so that's where the students will build with Lego a scene, and they'll come up with a whole story and plot and conflict of what's going to happen in their movie. And, you know, we go through all those steps of developing their outline for their movie. And then it's when you take a picture like over and over, and each time you take the picture, you move your minifigure or your, you know, something in the scene a little bit. And so then when all those pictures are put together, it makes that animated movie.
Oh,
so great. It's so exciting that the students love it because it's like that real result. They get to see this movie created that they made. They get to edit it, add sound, add text, special effects. And when we do it as a summer camp or even as a weekly camp program, on the last day we'll have a movie premiere.
Oh, and, that's fun.
You know, get the popcorn out and set up the chairs, and the parents come and we get to enjoy everyone's movie. We do then add it to our YouTube channel. So we have several examples of the stop motion movies on just Snapology of Harrisonburg YouTube channel. So I think that one is really fun. It's also a skill that they learn and practice and can do at home. You know, it's pretty easy to get a stop motion app, but the nice thing about doing it as a class or a camp is that, you know, we have all the materials there and just that motivation of being with other students. Again, they'll work with one other partner to make their movie. So they do need to collaborate. They need to take turns with everything. And then they just have, you know, just an exciting experience doing it together versus doing it by themselves at home.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Are parents invited to the movie premiere? Is it just...
Oh, for sure. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Parents get to come and they've loved it. You know, and each movie is so unique and it can really reflect each student's personality, and students especially love to add music and sound to their movies as well as to their robots. That's another part of our coding, is they can add sounds to their robots. So that's one more spot where they are very creative.
Where do they find the sound files for these movies?
Well, a lot of the files are actually in the apps that we use.
I got you.
So in the Lego Robotics app or the stop motion app we use. But then at times we do want to find something else. And so either I'll look it up on my phone, and, you know, it has the ability to record. So there's a microphone so they can record themselves singing a song or making like a helicopter sound, or, you know, whatever sound they're, if they can't find it, they can make it, or we can, yeah, pull in a file or record something from elsewhere.
You guys are having too much fun over here.
Yes, it really is. And I didn't even mention, also we have preschool programs, and so the preschoolers will use the Duplo.
Duetto?
Yeah. Whole other language, right?
What just happened? What are we talking about?
Duplo. I'm sure some of your laughers have heard of Duplo. So they're just larger Lego bricks for preschoolers.
All right. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so we have programs where they're building amusement park rides and using gears and pulleys and levers and just having fun, you know. But they're seeing the motion and the simple machines as they put it together. We also have an animal and dinosaur class, and so there's a lot of variety, and we are one of the only camp programs that have programs for four-year-olds. So we do have a lot of four-year-old, five-year-old students come, and so that's been really fun to see, like, even at that age of four, they can still build a robot, and, you know, there's just amazing things that they can do at a young age.
This has been a wonderful conversation today. And before we wrap up, I have another question for you. Well, a couple. Like, how can they follow you? But before that, what is the favorite part of this job for you?
Well, I really do love being with students, and I love, like, seeing them happy. So when they have a great experience, that just fills my heart. I really love it. And I love having parents be happy, you know, like, yeah. So it's certainly exciting when we have feedback of how much a child liked their program, or, you know, a benefit they had, or maybe a parent had a student come to a camp and then they reached out to have me come to their business or their church. And so I love seeing all the different ways that we can reach people and connect. And I also just, I'm more of an artist actually than like an engineer. I mean, I grew up doing ballet and crafting, and so I love also the supply part of it. Like, it's kind of crazy, but I just like having a classroom. I like being able to have a comfortable place for students to come to. And actually, one of my goals is to open up what's called a discovery center in Harrisonburg. And so it would be its own, you know, standalone building that had all these STEM play stations in it and our classrooms. I just like having a place for people to come to and for many years when my kids were younger, I felt like in the south part of the county here in Bridgewater, it was hard to find as many activities as I wanted for my kids without traveling a lot. And so I'm just trying to give more options. And so I do love that part of it too, like actually making things and just being creative with the space that I have for students.
No, I think you have found your calling, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, when I was little, well, not little, but a teenager, I would like set up dance classes for kids in my basement. So, and then, you know, that went into teaching English. And I really have always loved to teach.
Yeah, I think you love the teaching part as well as bringing people together.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like the two.
Together, yeah, yes.
That's you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if I grow enough, I would love to hire a manager. I would love to hand off some of the business part.
Right.
I admit that's not my strongest place, but that's okay. Like, it's helping me learn and grow, too. And so I do feel, you know, I feel blessed that I've been able to, like, make this investment, and my husband is very supportive and makes it possible that I can just
do this.
Yeah
do this and be a mom, and you're doing a good job. You are welcome. So now we have to make sure that people know how to find out more about you. So Jenny, how best can the Laughers follow details about Snapology of Harrisonburg on social media or otherwise to connect with you and get more information?
So we are very active on Facebook, so it's just Snapology of Harrisonburg on Facebook, and that's where I really enjoy sharing pictures, videos of our current students, so, you know, your local community, and share events there and other ways that we're working with other community organizations. And then we also have an Instagram account. I'm not as good at keeping up with that one, but I know some people really enjoy Instagram. And then our website is harrisonburg.snapology.com, and that's where you'll find our schedule. So if you go to the website, there is an overview of all the different programs and, you know, birthday parties and things we offer. And then there's a button that says register. So if you hit register, you'll see the schedule. You'll see the different locations that we're offering classes at.
That's great. And then, of course, there will be an option on the website to join your mailing list, which is probably the best way to really keep up.
Yeah, we do send out one or two emails a month, trying to overview what's coming up in the months and some of those suggestions for STEM at home and blog posts. Our email list is great. Hopefully people get it. I know a lot of emails go to spam.
I know.
So, yes, but I do enjoy sharing that way. And then a lot of people will write me through, you know, like Facebook Messenger. So that's also any email that you send to Snapology of Harrisonburg does actually come to me personally, and I'll be right back with you.
That sounds great. So Laughers will be sure to put all that information for you in the show notes. Plus, we will have for you that discount promo code LAUGH15 so you can buy delicious gourmet popcorn at prepopstress.com. That's in the show notes for you as well. I want to say thank you for coming on the show, Jennifer. This has been super fun chatting up all things Snapology of Harrisonburg today with you. These programs sound amazing for the kids in our community, and I'm grateful that you are here to offer them to them. I've enjoyed our time today, so thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Dawn, for having me, and thanks for all you do to share all these great opportunities in our community.
Isn't that fun?
It is. Yes, it's a great place to live, so I'm just excited that more and more is available for us, and that we get to find out about those things.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
Yes. Laughers, to get more information on all that Snapology of Harrisonburg can offer the kids in your life, be sure to visit harrisonburg.snapology.com. And then don't forget to snag that discount on Prepopstress using promo code LAUGH15 at prepopstress.com today, so you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling.
Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.